Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. It's time for us to continue our concerns series today. And today we're going to be looking at the interior defensive line group and whether or not the Ravens really have the depth required at that position. Joining me to talk about that is Justin Isett. Justin, how you doing?
You're doing right, Ken. Happy to be here.
Always happy to talk football with you, Justin. Justin was a big part of the draft coverage, if you remember him. Great opinions, great graphics as well in terms of what he provided. The thing I'm hoping we can keep that going. And Justin's already done some things for the offensive line this year to hopefully improve the graphical presentation of that information. So really appreciate all your contributions to the show, Justin.
Happy to help.
All right, so let's talk about the defensive line here. The cuts have just been made. In fact, they're really not even completely done, although it's almost 5 p.m., and I believe they're due at 4. But the Ravens' defensive line depth right now looks like Matabike, Jones, Broderick Washington, Peebles, and Jenkins. There was some question as to whether or not John Jenkins would be cut.
Yeah, there was some question whether or not they do another handshake deal. They're almost certainly doing with Brent Urban, or also if they would go with the younger upside of especially Okoye. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they're riding with a vet, which is a decision I agree about, although I think Josh Jenkins is a difficult player to be excited about, but also not a huge terror in terms of worry. But there is, I think, cause concern of the drop-off.
They paid him a good amount of money for the extra security, and it's only a one-year Band-Aid at the position, which I guess would be my concern. And maybe it's more of a concern for 26 than it is for 25, because I look at this roster, and they've got Jenkins and Travis Jones are now one-year rentals.
Right. Yeah.
Now. They'll both be UFAs.
Right. We have – is Washington on the roster next year?
I think he is in the last year of his deal, but I'll confirm that for you.
So we only have 3 defensive tackles on the roster for 26. No nose tackles. So no 0, no 1, which we love.
I mean, are you confirm? I mean, nose tackle is kind of a position size and shape pool that's fairly easy to fill. Broderick Washington is signed through 2026, by the way. There is a beefy $4 million savings from cutting him. So they might either extend him, ask him to take less money, or he has a big year and the $4 million looks like a bargain.
Right. As to the question of the concern for nose tackle in general in terms of the developmental pipeline and also the construction of the roster this year is the ability to generate pressure without dedicating extra resources, specifically against Buffalo and Kansas City, which is it's weird in the AFC where it feels like maybe this is being a narcissistic fan, but there's like a 3-team tier at the top. Maybe Houston gets into it one of these years. Maybe Denver surprises everybody and jumps up there. But every time I look at the roster this year, I'm just saying, can these guys get to Patrick Mahomes for the love of God so we can get past them in the playoffs? And can they get to Josh Allen with having to blitz my corner off the boundary? Because if he ever reads that, he's just going to roll right and nuke us from space.
Right. I mean, obviously both of those quarterbacks are good with hot reads. You want to beat them with a 4-man rush. And I think the thing that you're not saying directly is that Travis Jones greatly improves the 4-man rush when he's in there on as 1 of 4, because he commands a double team. And that means Matabike gets a single. It means that you get a single on both edges. Or they commit extra resources to try and block that, which is another thing that the Ravens secondary certainly can benefit from.
Sure. I also think Travis Jones excels incredibly well if you do not double team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're begging for trouble.
That is, you will have 2 seconds in the pocket and a 6'5" man bearing down on you with your center in your lap quickly after the snap.
And then he is an absolutely massive and in shape human being. The size of him just is not ever captured correctly on film or at the podium. He's immense.
Yeah. He will win you some football games coming off the bus in high school. Like he is that guy.
All right. So in terms of what the Ravens have in terms of pass rush this year, let's talk a little bit about that. Matabike will be back. Honestly, did not have a great pass rushing year last year when you net out the cost of his roughing the passer calls. I thought, he had fairly decent interior pressure, but he negated a lot of that value, frankly, last year with 4 roughing the passer calls.
Yeah. I mean, there is something to be said about officiating, but it's not something in your control. And what is in your control is trying not to get called for roughing the passer. That feels like something that's more controllable than other elements I'd be worried about. For instance, I don't think Josh Jenkins gets a lot of push if he's matched up 1-on-1. Like, I don't think he can, in a play action scenario, let's say on 2nd and 6, I think Josh Jenkins is going to give you a stalemate. I don't think he's going to give you a win, which for the money, like a stalemate's not terrible, but when you're thinking about a Super Bowl roster, being able to create those negative plays, I think is better. I don't know if we want to switch from nose to Peebles.
Let me say something about Jenkins before you move on, because one thing that was surprising to me was what good push he got early in the preseason. Now, I know context is to be considered, but he was in there against the best that the Colts had to offer, given the fact that they weren't playing Quentin Nelson, for example.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But he was in there. Yeah, he's in there for the first 8 snaps or so of the game, and the 6 of them were passing, and he had 2 pressures during that time. And they're both exactly the kind of pressure you're talking about, a walk-back pressure right into the quarterback's lap, cone pressures, invading the cone. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm much more stringent in charging pressures in the cone. If the quarterback can't step into his throw, it's one of the really big things you can do is mm-hmm. make that quarterback just uncomfortable, even if he maybe has time to either get rid of the ball quickly, but more quickly than he would like, or he has to half step into his throw and get rid of the ball right on time, which might make the ball sail or otherwise travel in not the direction he had hoped.
Yeah. I checked with some Raiders fans. So I just went on the Reddit, to be mm-hmm. honest. Just to scout Josh Jenkins a little bit, and All 22 did a breakdown of him. And I didn't see a lot of pressure from him last year, although there is hope. I mean, you're reducing him from about 600 snaps to about 230 snaps, and he is 35. So I'm imagining with an over, I don't know what percentage it is, it's almost like a 60% reduction.
How are you getting him down to 230?
That's what Michael Pierce played last year. So assuming, so he played 600 snaps last year for the Raiders because he was a true starter. If we're having him in the rotational role, if no one gets injured, then he can play the same number of snaps as Michael Pierce, which is.
But Pierce did get injured last year, so if Pierce were available the whole year, he would have probably been a 400 snap guy. Would be my guess, maybe a little more. But 600 down to 400 is a nice reduction.
So, yeah, is that? That's probably. I'm guessing he's going to go from like 80. Yeah, 1/3 reduction, but I guess that's going to be from like an 80% usage as a starter to maybe a 40% usage. I don't know how many snaps there were.
No, I'll give it to you a little bit better than that. He had 600 last year, is about out of maybe 1,100 for the team, maybe about 55% mm-hmm. of the snaps. And if he went to, he'd be at about 36% with the Ravens. I think that would be fine.
Yeah. For the money, I think that's a expected value, very much so.
Yeah. I mean, I think if anything, with Okoye and Jones, the upside that they could have brought would be that they're here for 4 years and Jenkins mm-hmm. is only here for 1. You also get a $700,000 cap savings if you went with either of those guys, because even the guaranteed money to Jenkins added to Okoye or Jones' salary is about $700,000 less than what you pay mm-hmm. Jenkins for the full year.
Yeah, and Okoye, I don't know, man. It's just hard not to see a guy that young you've never seen on an NFL field and not just hope he's the best version of himself. But
yeah.
And that's entirely unrealistic.
I think one of the things I saw this summer was that Okoye was not really ready to play anything close to 400 snaps. So if you really don't want to overwork Travis Jones, or you're concerned about him getting injured, which I guess both are true, then you want to have a guy like Okoye be able to keep his wind on the field. And that was something just he's had ongoing issues with.
Yeah, he is not in professional NFL shape. Not to be disparaging of the young man, but it's just kind of the reality. I'm sure the coaches saw it.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, you know, coming to football late. We always talk about all the football specific skills and the hand placement and the punching and that kind of thing. But, you know, part of it is just managing your effort is something you learn from very early on. It'd be kind of like if you were the perfect athlete, if you were built exactly like a Kenyan sprinter, but you just took it up, you know, 3 weeks before a marathon, you wouldn't be able to do the same things to manage energy that somebody's been doing all their life.
He played basketball professionally in Nigeria. I don't know much about the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if he was like a long-term athlete. I'm sure at that size, they figured out sports was a good route for him, like pretty early in his life. I'm sure Nigeria's training program is not comparable to the NFL. Not to be disparaging of another, but this is the most wealthy league in the world. Like, these athletes are in insane shape.
I would certainly agree with that. And that said, Nigeria has one of the best pipelines to the United States for football players, in terms of, you know, there are actual scouts working there trying to figure out who might be good.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if you're going to check anywhere, it's like there in American Samoa.
Good places.
Good. Yeah. But, you know, with Jenkins, I think it'll be fine. I think Broderick Washington is also a guy who people may be forgetting that he can be a very effective player when he's in, especially for a third rotational tackle. I mean, I guess the only, losing either starting tackle would be, I think, a much bigger drop off than we would like, which is, I think most teams are in that position. Also, I mean, I would argue that you might have two top 10 defensive tackles on the roster, possibly.
With Travis and Matabike, right?
Yeah, with Travis and Matabike.
Okay, so that's a nose tackle and a defensive tackle, so I'd make the distinction there.
Right, yeah, yes. So interior defensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that could very well be reasonably true. Did the play of Peebles, we haven't seen Washington much this preseason. I guess he played in the first game, I'm trying to think, but he got the
he didn't
play at all. So starter treatment, that kind of matches with the fact that he's looked very good this summer at camp. He's been looked like the old Broderick Washington that's getting his hands up, tipping footballs, getting some push. So, you know, I would have said he was not an automatic to make the team this year. There's about a $900,000 savings for cutting him, which means there's no savings because the guy you get instead is going to cost you almost exactly that much. But they could have, you know, moved on if they didn't like his play. And that just hasn't been a consideration at all. He's been too good in camp to be a guy that they would cut. And it's a good problem to have that you have too many defensive linemen here. Let's move on and talk though about Peebles a little bit. Did his play this preseason reduce your concern about the defensive line at all?
I like Peebles a lot. I liked him in the draft. I liked him coming out. I mean, he had I think it was the second highest pressure rate according to PFF, which I trust their information is, I think, good, but not perfect. It certainly wouldn't be as good as the information that you would get from like Virginia Tech's coaching staff itself. Mm-hmm. I was surprised we drafted him. He feels more like a Houston guy to me. Like, I think in Houston's defense, he is kind of their Broderick Washington. I mean, he can sort of line up in the B gap, but really he's playing the A, and he gets the A gap incredibly quickly and still get penetration. I mean, I think that's probably his best skill. I think for us, I think he's really just a situational pass rusher, and I honestly would not be surprised if he was inactive a lot of games. I mean, we went with four defensive linemen last year, and I think he's pretty much exclusively a third down player for us. I mean, at least for this year, it's hard to imagine him on running downs, unless it's like second and 10. Like second and long, he's a long distance player or a passing down player.
I mean, there's more passing downs in your typical Ravens game for the opponent
than for
most teams because the Ravens have a lot of big leads. I think he could be a closeout player for the Ravens, which that's an exciting role for him that he's in as much as he can stand to be on the field when you have a 3-touchdown lead, when you have a 2-touchdown lead late. You know, then you get Peebles on the field, and you at that point, I don't think it even hurts you to play him as a one. I think you can put him on the inside and use him there. The guy has a remarkable set of pass rush moves for an interior defender just coming out of college. He has a spin move. You know, he does a lot of things extremely well. He's very slippery. And I agree with you on the run thing. That he showed one great two gap this preseason, but I don't entirely trust him for good reasons, I think, if size being the main one, as a two gap player.
Yeah, I think his long-term prospects as a run defender are higher than I thought it was coming out, seeing that he just got here. He's going to have to do a lot with technique. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to do a lot by being an excellent defensive tackle with pretty much perfect positioning, or, you know, when you get it in a double team, being able to penetrate a double team very quickly to occupy so that the center can't get up to the second level. But, yeah, he is a weird fit, but, like, man, it's going to be a lot of fun watching him rush the passer if we are in this situation. His best move to me is the two-hand swipe.
Yeah,
he had that one move against the Commanders. It was like two-hand swipe to two-hand swipe. It was like two-hand swipe left, two-hand swipe right, go from guard to center to A-gap to, like, come free completely. I know a lot of those guys probably aren't going to be NFL rosters, but he kind of showed you why.
Yeah, he's very heavy hands. He's naturally positioned to get that leverage from underneath too. So when he's coming up, he can go right and left. But when he's coming up, for the obvious way is in a rip move. If he gets to the half man and goes to rip move, he's got a big advantage. If he otherwise, comes up a lot of times, he can really jar an opposing lineman and get ground made up on them there. I was very impressed with him in the preseason. He's the guy who improved the most between what I saw in the game from just watching on TV or watching at the stadium for that matter, to what I saw when I went to the tape for the second time. It was much better than I thought he was initially.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't broken down the film, but after watching the highlights, he certainly stood out because it was kind of hard to take your eyes off Mike Green when he was out there. Yeah. I think we were all kind of in that place right now.
I feel like I got a man crush.
Yeah, man, dude, that chop move. Anyway, we're getting off topic. The other thing I do really like about Peebles from a schematic standpoint is he can occupy the center very quickly if you kind of scheme for him to line up in a gap and sort of shoot over, like do it up and over. Like you're going to line up in the B, you're really going to rush the A, right? That type of like third and long.
Cross the face of the guard is what you're talking about. It's usually an under move on a stunt. So it'll be a looper over top of you. And when a three tech can do that very effectively, that often creates an outrageously positive situation for him after the looper forces one of those players to peel off. Mm-hmm. So you could have an end coming inside that'll peel the center. You could have a defensive tackle or nose tackle going the other direction, and that'll peel off the guard.
Right.
And when that happens, that creates an absurd advantage for the under player. And oftentimes, this is not generally known, but people think the under player is kind of sacrificing himself in the pass rush in terms of doing. But it's often the under who ends up with the better opportunity because if the center and the guard do not match their depth well in that situation, then the handoff is very difficult. And if you want to see a player having difficulty by the way, matching his depth, Nick Samak had a terrible preseason in that regard. He's a guy to go look at as a guy who might've been three failures in three games to match depth, which killed off a stunt handoff and all of them related to some sort of pressure event.
And now he's no longer on the team.
Yeah. He's got.
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be, do you think he's going to be on the practice squad?
It's very tight because this team is really short on practice squad spots in total. So I'm comfortable that they want Dellinger. I'm comfortable that they want Dalcourt. I'm not comfortable they want Samak.
Yeah. Which is strange because I actually thought he played pretty well last year for a rookie.
Yeah.
But this year he seems to have regressed.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't take the step forward you'd hope. And Samak was on the roster last year. Yeah. So he's a year two player. I need to confirm that because sometimes I lose that in the
he was inactive. He was pretty much a YouTube player. Inactive, but he was.
Yeah, no, that's true. Mm-hmm. But he's used up a year of his four is my point. So Dalcourt and Bullock and Dellinger are all in the better 4 years of time remaining. Mm. Can we move on and talk about Brent Urban a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. So what is Brent?
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Urban bring to the team now, given that the Ravens have seemingly committed to him being on the practice squad to start the year?
It's kind of weird because you don't see a lot of five tech anymore. And Brent is about the fiviest five tech I've seen in quite some time.
By the way, I've talked to him directly about exactly that fact. It's like, does it bother you to be at a position where, you know, it seems to be going away in the NFL? Mm-hmm. And you know, he does not like that question, by the way. If you ever meet him in person, probably don't ask him that question. But
I mean, he's 6'7", so it won't be intimidating at all to ask a question he doesn't like. Just this angry Canadian.
Yeah. He's a great guy, by the way. Absolutely great guy. When he retires, he's going to be great for some podcast. I would love to do a show with him regularly because he will be absolutely fantastic on a podcast somewhere.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to Brent. So I think he gives the Ravens a guy that you can alternate with Peebles for some portion of the year being the active player. So you mentioned there's going to be some games where Peebles would be inactive. I hate even the thought of the Ravens going with only 4 defensive linemen. I think it's too risky any game.
Fully agree. I was surprised they ran that way. I thought Tavius Robinson might slide in on passing downs as an interior rusher, and I don't think that happened very often.
Not too much.
Yeah. So, man, I'm hoping these guys don't gas out. That's really a coaching question more so than a roster composition question. What was the position they were activating that would replace the defensive lineman?
Probably a special teams position. I mean, that's what you – in the end, you're always kind of making a sacrifice for special teams mm-hmm. to activate one more guy. I think sometimes it's a little overrated how much athleticism you need in the middle, say, mm-hmm. of a kickoff return unit. So could a Brent Urban fill that sort of role? I mean, it's not optimal. I'm not saying that. But how much do you lose from having a Brent Urban? I mean, Brent Urban is terrific at shedding blocks. That's kind of what he does for a living. So isn't it reasonable that he'd be able to help you on a kickoff coverage unit? I should say, not kickoff return, kickoff coverage unit.
Yeah, I think so. The kickoff rules changing just changes the math so much. Like a lot of people, I heard someone mention the fact that Rasheen Ali is really the second kickoff returner.
Yep.
Which is weird to think about because historically, like, you have one kickoff returner. They either mm-hmm. kick to him or they don't. Now, by rule, you have to have two. They line up in a designated yep. spot, and people are going to kick away from Keaton Mitchell. So they're going to kick probably to your second returner, which will be Rasheen Ali, who's probably the second best kick returner on the field. Yeah, I think you can play better Urban. I know Cleveland just got a guy who's sort of like Pernell McPhee-ish, like an undrafted dude who's maybe like 280, 6'4". I don't know the name. I was listening to a podcast of the best kind of preseason performers. And he has them run on kickoffs. He's also a particularly fast defensive lineman. But yeah, I think Brent Urban could give you push. I think he can give you pressure, especially on punt. Especially on kickoff. I mean, he's a great kickoff blocker. I mean, I think he's probably the best he's the best kick blocker I think we have, just with his height and his length.
Yes. Yeah, he definitely gives you that. And Ben Cleveland is another guy on the interior that's good. But they don't have a Calais Campbell anymore, and it really helps to have some size there.
I mean, Calais Campbell does not grow on trees. There's not a lot of guys in the history of the NFL like that. Honestly, at this point in their careers, I think Brent Urban probably still brings more than Peebles. I think he's a more disciplined defensive lineman. I can't remember the last
time. Gets more than Peebles? Is that what you said?
Gives more than Peebles.
Gives more. Gives more.
Okay. Right. I think he can truly play kind of more three down, but also I mean, there's just stuff you don't really appreciate. Like, I cannot remember the last time Brett Irvin gave up a screen. Like, I feel like his screen diagnostic is incredibly strong. You don't see as many screens anymore. I don't know if you heard this, but Mike Vrabel had like a long rant on why it's harder to run screens now, just because you can't cut block, because they legislated that out. And now I don't know if the screen rate has gone down, but it's harder to be effective in that part of the game. So that does change part of its value. But just the intelligence of being able to really diagnose the play as a defensive lineman, I think is stronger than probably anyone. I mean, he probably is kind of the savviest. I mean, he's been around the longest. I just remember him being in like passing lanes and kind of peeling off like earlier in the play and things like that. Certainly things you don't really appreciate. I know Peoples is like the shiny new guy, but he is more, I think, a situational player at this point.
Yeah, I kind of like their six-man group here. I almost look at it as a six-man rotation. If you think you're going to end up with a team that you're going to be in a very close game with, then you might very much well want Brent Urban on the field, because he's Brent Urban is your fifth defensive lineman, because he'll give you that base defense against a team that might be leading you in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. If you want a guy to help you close out a game, then Peebles can be your guy. And I think he gives you more than Urban in that situation.
Yeah.
So it may depend on the opponent, and they've got three activations with Urban. He may be up on the roster as early as week two. If he is, he's got to replace somebody, which means that will be hard to figure out. If he doesn't, if they don't bring him up right away, I mean, it's a tough early season stretch, but I can easily see him activated three times over the course of, say, 5 or 6 weeks. And then in week seven, they kick the count down the road a while. They see what the current injury status is of players like Washington, Peebles, and even Matabike. If one of those three is going to have to miss time at some point, then they will be very happy they have Brent Urban around.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely kind of the bullpen player he's your backup guy. I mean, he's here because he knows the system. He's here because he can.
Yeah, it is. He's really a good depth antidote, though. I mean, concerns about IDL depth. I do have concerns that Peebles is not exactly big enough for the Ravens typical, to provide what the Ravens typically do against, against the run. But, having an Urban available definitely changes things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it gives you the flexibility. I guess that's kind of been sort of a roster question for the Ravens in general. It feels like you have like players who match these specific things as opposed to this kind of true roster where it's just like, well, these are the four, like the five defensive linemen rolling out. None of them really have flaws or anything like that. I mean, it's just very, I think it was a bigger issue with the inside linebackers last year where it's like, this is my rundown linebacker, Harrison. This is my, coverage linebacker Chris Board, and it was just very specific downs that they played as opposed to true three down backers, and that I think kind of limited the ceiling of the offense. But with the defensive lineman too, it's you have to substitute to get I think what you need, unless you want to gas out Jones and Matabike. Mm-hmm. I think Washington's the other one who could truly play. I think Washington's a three down player, just not as good as the starters, right? But no other defensive lineman on this team is truly three downs.
Right. I mean, Matabike, they could play three downs, but they don't want to.
Right.
And Jones, you can play any down at all you need him for. But yeah, they got to not.
What I mean by that is any situation that you could occur in three downs. So like third and short, first and 10, second and 15, second and 6.
Okay.
I cannot draw up a down and distance and a personnel grouping in which I'm not putting out Justin Matabike or Travis Jones.
Okay. Gotcha.
Right. But there's certainly down in distances where Josh Jenkins is not going to be on. There's certainly down in distances where Peebles isn't going to be on.
Right.
Brent Urban, I think, can just be okay enough to kind of play any of those situations. Jenkins and Peebles specifically, there are absolutely situations where I do not want them on the field. So if you're in like a 2-minute drill, you're really in kind of like race car. Maybe you substitute just for exhaustion, but from a schematic standpoint, a little more worried about that. You have to substitute, you have to substitute sometimes to be effective. And that can get you in trouble, I think, in certain, especially when offenses can run like truly up tempo.
Yeah, I mean, it's harder to make that change if they don't make a personnel change. You have to really work quickly to get your guy on the field, which about half the time that can be done pretty easily. About the other half of the time, it can be difficult. But it depends on whether or not the previous play went out of bounds. The guy went down and is you know, the tackler stays on him for a little extra time just to give you an extra second or two.
Yeah, I miss the days where Bart Scott could just sit down and come back in the next play just to get the Patriots. But that's right. The world, unfortunately.
Let's hit on the last end of this, which is Okoye and Jones. And what do you see as the future for them? First of all, do you think the Ravens have room for both of these guys, both nose tackles, to be on the practice squads? You've got only 16 practice squad spots in total.
Well, you get the extra one because Okoye is international, right?
There's somebody else you miss out on. I think it's maybe Mitchell Payton is the guy I'm thinking of who is whatever.
I mean, I'd much rather have Okoye. I mean, that's sure. I don't think that's a difficult situation.
Okay. Third year for Okoye, by the way, in the league on a practice squad. At some point, he's got to play some football.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any years of service so far. So in a sense, the Ravens are still have the advantage of potentially getting 4 years out of him. But not only does he need to play some football to have value, but some other team may say, you're not going to get to play behind these two guys that the Ravens have. Why don't you come to our team? Because they don't even have to sign him to their roster. They don't have to go through the waiver claim process. All they need to do is sign him away from the Ravens onto their practice squad.
Yeah. Then he would need the activation to get actual playing time. So that would be, I think, from his perspective, and this is a very new program, so I don't really have any kind of past data to draw on. When was this put in, even?
Within the last 5 to 7 years. I'm not sure how long it's been. It's been around for a little bit, but not within the last 5 to 7. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my feelings on Okoye are, look, I really want this to work out because I would love to just get, you know, sort of a Jordan Mulata of defensive tackles. And for those who don't know, he's the left tackle of the Eagles, who used to be like a rugby player from, I think, Australia. And just knowing that big should run that fast type of guy. And Okoye also thinks in the knowing that big should run that fast type of category. But, like, probably won't work out. I mean, being a professional football player is an incredibly difficult thing to do. I think it would very much like to work out. I mean, if you're 3 years in and you're still not athletically kind of capable of that endurance of just playing. I mean, he wasn't even playing that many snaps. So just having the kind of the endurance to do it. I'm not particularly high on him, but, like, man, I'd love for him to prove me wrong. Right. Love to get just someone who could just shed a center and just run down like Mahomes in Kansas City and just scare the entire 50,000 Chiefs nation.
Yeah, that would do that.
I mean, that would be just the horror of horrors. So I think if either makes the practice squad, it's him, with the international exception, but also for the upside.
All right. So I'd make my case for Jason Jones because Jones is a guy who at Auburn was playing heavier than he is right now. I think he's playing around 355 at Auburn. He's listed something like 335 on the Ravens roster right now. And I want to check that because I want that to be something we have accurately. He's number 69. Yeah. 6'6", 335 now. I think he was 355 at Auburn and he looked fat when he's at Auburn. Now he looks more in shape. He played well in the preseason, much more even keel player than Okoye, who had, you know, had wild swings in terms of his effectiveness. Jones seems to know how to play with his feet a little better than Okoye does. Okoye, not to get too deep into the weeds here, but one of the things that a nose tackle in particular needs to do is he needs to be able to take a double team. Taking a double team is largely a matter of setting your feet right. And Michael Pierce used to, you know, do that drill in his sleep, probably, in terms of what he was doing. He knew how to put each of his feet at the proper angle to accept that double team and be basically pushing against both players. The case of Jones, I think he's probably ahead of Okoye with the way he's been trained at football so far during his life. It may be part of Okoye's wind problem that he really hasn't learned to do that properly yet. And I've seen too many times already this preseason even where he's been kind of stood up in the run game. And usually getting stood up like that is a matter of not having your feet set. It could also be he's just too damn tall.
Yeah. But, I do wonder if he's too tall for football. I mean, people like height is not an absolute win. Like long arms are pretty much an absolute win in football. Like there's really no disadvantage to having shorter arms. I know you guys can't see me, but trust me, I used to box at 5'9 and like 185, and like you learn what length is very quickly. And
you get a few jabs, have we?
yeah, for sure. And so there's going to be nothing but jabs and maybe a straight every once in a while, but no one's coming for your body. Like it's just they can reach you and you can't. But with the pad level, like he's so tall. He's also a basketball player by nature. And I think, you know, there's basketball players who play edge, there's basketball players who move to tight end. I cannot remember. Maybe it's just the limits of my knowledge. I cannot remember a basketball player who played
defensive line. It's more, much more common that you get an offensive tackle, a tight end, a wide receiver,
or an edge. I mean, those skill sets are somewhat similar. I am surprised when he was in Nigeria, he actually played as an offensive tackle at the scouting, or whatever the scouting game was. And also, if I just saw him, if I knew nothing about the team and I saw him, I would say OT. Yeah, Jones, I think Jones seems like he could develop into a solid backup. He doesn't seem to be a huge difference maker at nose tackle, but he also looks like a guy who could eat your double teams and keep people clean and give you like a big body and rundowns.
That's great stuff. Justin, always great talking football with you. We have to cut it off here, but you know, honestly, I think I'm at a point where I'm pretty okay. My concern level is fairly low. Put your concern level on a 1 to 10 scale for the defensive line depth right now.
I mean, I'm gonna give you two numbers. I'm gonna give you my confidence that this team will be one of the best teams in the NFL with the current defensive line depth, considering all the other prospects. And then there is the razor thin margin of us and the two teams we're gonna be watching obsessively the entire season.
Yep.
Which is Buffalo and Kansas City. My confidence for the season is like 8.5. Like we're one of the strongest rosters. I would be very disappointed if we're not a top 3 seed. Or honestly, I'm going to be disappointed if we're not a top 2 seed. Although we do have the gauntlet of a schedule that I don't think Kansas City and Buffalo share. I'm still worried. Like fundamentally, the biggest concern I have about the roster is the 4-man rush. Like that is just... like I put it at a 6. So 8.5 confidence. So like 2 in general, but like 6 for the fine margin of like, all we're going to be seeing is like 2 top 10 quarterbacks of all time in the playoffs. Right. I mean, that is like the true concern I have is the great games.
And it's easily possible that we could see them both in the playoffs. And that's why it's so important to get that 1 or 2 seed. The 2 seed doesn't get you out of playing one of them, get you out of playing both of them probably. The 1 seed does. Mm-hmm. The 1 seed, you probably don't play one of those teams.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, if I could pick a storybook ending, it would just be...
beating both.
Just wire to wire, just Lamar Jackson, just... hanging pelts on the wall. Like that's the real, I know we need the 1 seed and I'm rooting for the 1 seed, but you know, give me like the Herculean epic in my heart. You know what I mean?
Okay. How about the 1 seed? Buffalo gets the 4 seed because Houston slips in and then they beat them both. So,
there you go. That's awesome. It. That's the dream.
All right. Yeah. Justin, always a great pleasure talking football with you. We want to have you on this show more. You're very knowledgeable and very good. This was, I think, an outstanding episode. And didn't take, by the way, Justin does not need to prep a lot to do a show like this. And I kind of want to talk to other people during the concern series that you don't want to over prepare for it. So I'll hopefully have some people, more people interested in doing this. But Justin, tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Hey, yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter, Justin Isett. That is ISETT, India Sierra Echo Tango Tango. You can follow me on Instagram at isvoodoo for my filmmaking endeavors.
By the way, Justin has done some very interesting filmmaking, and definitely that's something I'm going to check out. Next time I get a chance to watch something that he's done, I definitely want to do it. Other folks out there, hit me up if you're interested in the Concern series. DMs are always open on Twitter, as you probably know. Also, if you want to do something nice for the show, tell someone else about it. That's all I can say. If you want to write us a 5-star 50-word review, also, that's great too. Justin, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop OmahaSteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list, and every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at OmahaSteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.